Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
This is Lilydale Radio. I am coming to you live from Fredonia, not Lilydale tonight. In Fredonia, we have about a foot of snow, so I don't know what's up there at Lilydale, but I'll find out tomorrow when I go over there to do some reading. So this is Lilydale Radio. The name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. I am Colleen van der Zijden, a registered medium at Lilydale, and I'm also a certified intuitive life coach. And it's really funny because sometimes when people talk to me about coaching, they say, well, what does that mean exactly? And basically what it means is I'm like your best friend as I help you solve your problems. So you can tell me anything and I just help you get to it. Now, you have the advantage of me as a coach because I do have that intuitive side. And it's not abnormal for me in a coaching session to all of a sudden just stop and go, hold on a second, and then look up and start talking and channeling some information that's coming through for my people that I'm helping. So here in Lilydale, what happens in Lilydale is we do all sorts of stuff there. We've got lots of mediums over there in the summer season. We have a stunning workshop program. All sorts of special guests come, as well as special events that happen right in Lilydale. Hello, Michelle. Nice to see you. Hello, Mom. Oh, well, you finally found me. Hopefully you can stay with me. We'll see how it goes with the internet thing tonight. So we are just having a ball here. Lilydale is the largest spiritualist community in the world, and many people do come there from all over the place. Now, before I start on my topic of the day, and the topic today is a mediumship question and answer. I have been asked all sorts of questions about mediumship over my career as a medium, and I finally wrote a bunch down because I said, you know what, this is interesting. People keep asking me the same questions. It'd be fun if I answered them. So if you do have questions, feel free to put them in the Facebook Live comment area, and I'll try to catch them as they go by. But before I get to that, I have a personal request for you. If you follow me on my page, Colleen van der Zijden, medium and intuitive life coach, I am looking for some feedback from people who have watched radio shows, whether it's the Lilydale radio show or the A1R psychic radio show, because I'm trying to narrow down my message of what it is I'm really helping people with, how I'm helping them. And I'm working on my book, and this is kind of essential that I don't throw a whole bunch of stuff at you. I'm trying to really get it down. So I keep asking people, what is it? Have I said something that's helped you? Have I said something that's helped you get to know yourself better, and that you've taken that to heart and have integrated it into your lives? Things like this, okay? So if you've ever heard me say something on a show that you thought, you know, that's great, I love that perspective, or whatever it is, and you want to share with me, that would be lovely. If you have a great story, I, of course, will be looking for some good stories for my book. So if you have a good story, I'd love to get that in there as well. Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Marjorie. Nice to see you guys. And hi, Lori. So today, we are going to talk about mediumship. We are going to do a little question and answer. I have a list of things here. And as I said a minute ago, if you want to ask questions, feel free to do it in the Facebook feed. I can see your comments for the most part, unless they go too fast. But for the most part, I can see them. So I wanted to talk first about what a mediumship reading is, because I have noticed over time that some people really don't understand this. Of course, when people come in for a reading at Lilydale with one of the registered mediums there, all of us explain what's going to happen, how it works, what the point is. And we do that in our own ways. We are not all the same by any means. But in Lilydale, a mediumship reading is connecting with our loved ones on the other side. Sometimes when people come in, they're not really looking for that. They're really looking for life guidance, or they're looking for psychic information rather than mediumship information. Now, in a mediumship reading, your loved ones will come through. And hi, Mick, nice to see you. And as they come through, they will say whatever they want to say. And there's a bit of a difference here between the psychic and the mediumship. All mediums are psychic. Okay, so that is definitely a skill we have, but not all psychics are mediums. So not all psychics connect in with our loved ones on the other side. They just don't, okay? Not, some do, some don't. A psychic, so many times when people think of a psychic, like I said, they want to know what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes people will joke around, you'll give us the lottery numbers and all of that, but that kind of violates natural law, so we don't do that. And if And if we could, I think all mediums would be very wealthy, and we're not. So there we go. Psychic stuff, when people are looking for something to reassure them, basically that's what they're doing. They want somebody to reassure them that life is going to be okay. And many times people will say to me, well, I know you can't really tell me that, but maybe my spirits on the other side can tell us. And I have had a few people do that on the other side, but for the most part, spirit is not going to come in here and interfere with your free will. You have free will to create what you want. You have free will to make decisions you want to make. If you've made a mistake and you need to fix it, you need to fix it. Spirit's not going to help you. If you want to be reassured that whatever it is you want is going to be in your life, spirit may or may not come through with that. I'll tell you what I tell people when they come in for a reading for me. And like I said, we are all different. All the mediums are different. So I'm just going to tell you what I do. And if you've had readings with other people, just understand we are all different. For me, I always tell people how things go with me. You know, how I feel. So I'll say I'm a big feeler. Some mediums see spirit, literally will see spirit like spirit is standing there. I know there's some mediums at Lilydale who hear spirit, physical hearing of a voice. Okay, my cats, you'll see my cats around because they are going stir crazy because they couldn't go outside because of all the snow. So don't mind the cats if they jump all over the place. So I will explain how people touch into spirit differently, and I'm a feeler. So if somebody passes of a heart attack, I'm going to feel it. If somebody has arthritis very badly, I'm going to feel it. The problem here that comes in is that I have no medical training, okay? So I'll be like, I have a pressure here, I have this, I can't breathe, this. The other day I said to somebody, oh, something's not right here, something's blocking my throat, I don't know what it is. Turned out it was a drowning. I'm like, oh, of course, I felt that a few years ago. So spirit is always teaching us as mediums. Spirit loves to help the mediums learn and grow. So that's why when you go to a reading sometimes, you'll get a medium that says, well, I'm not sure. I don't understand this. I don't know what this means. Or I'll say, I have a feeling, but I don't know what this is. I did this once. I went like this. Oh, I've got something. My whole body's shutting down. And turned out it was ALS. But, you know, sometimes I pick that up. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes the spirit does give me a diagnosis. Sometimes it doesn't. It's just the way it is. So I'm a feeler. So they come right through my body. Excuse me. I hope nobody's coming through right now. I will act things out with my hands. I caught myself doing this once, and I said, oh, he's a teacher, because I was writing on the chalkboard. I could feel it very distinctly. Sometimes my voice will change, and I will pick up an accent. Last year at Monday Night Circles, all of a sudden I switched into this accent, and I could not stop it to save my life. It was hilarious. We were having a ball with that one. Sometimes I look like the spirit. It doesn't happen a lot, but I always warn people it happens enough that I should warn you. The only way I know that it happens is the person sitting in front of me gives me this really wild look like, what happened there? And then I'll say, what happened? And then they'll tell me. But what I think happens is I do something or say something just right, and it reminds them of the person on the other side. Although people have told me my face does change as well. So things like that can happen. And there are no, I said this to somebody this week for a reading. I said, there are no normals here. This is what usually happens for me, but it's never the same. You know, it's just not the same. Sometimes when people come in for a reading for the first time, they're really nervous about it and really scared. They don't know what's going to happen. And some people think we know everything you have ever said or done in your life. Hi, Ray, nice to see you. So we don't. We don't know everything you've ever said or done in your life. We are not mind readers. We're just picking up on information spirit is giving us. So people sometimes are afraid that we're going to say something negative or scary. And I actually had somebody call me up the other day to ask for the reading that they were buying for somebody in their family to make sure I was going to be positive. And I was actually perplexed by this. I thought, what? What do you mean? Because for me and all the mediums I know, we want to be uplifting. We want to be inspiring. We want to be helpful. We're going to be positive. If anyone ever tells you anything that is not positive, for example, I had a client come in a few years ago who said he had been with another reading, another medium reading, and that medium told him he was cursed. Now, this was not a Lilydale medium, okay? That this person told him he was cursed. And of course, how much money was it going to take before she could take that curse away from him, right? So when he told me this about the curse, I jumped out of my chair. I was like, no, absolutely not. But the problem with this is because she said something like this that was negative and scary, it was in his head now. He had that. No matter what I could say, I couldn't say anything to erase that from him, because now he's thinking, oh, yes, she really knows. I am cursed. That's why I'm having all this bad luck. I'm cursed. And so, of course, now he's believing he's cursed. Now he's believing he's having all this bad luck because he's cursed. And what is he doing? He's creating more bad luck. He's attracting more to him. So a reputable medium will never, ever tell you anything like that, anything negative, scary like that. Even if I saw something or felt something that, say I felt like you were going to die. Okay. I've never felt that from anybody. Okay. Just so you know. But if I ever felt something like that, I would never say that to someone, because then you've got it in your head and you're going to start being too careful. You're going to be looking all around you trying to protect yourself. Let's see, Pam, hi. My best friend Rachel passed recently. I'd like to come see you. I do readings in Lilydale basically till the end of this month, because it depends on the snow situation over there. Then otherwise I do Skype and FaceTime readings, or Zoom too, phone too, but I prefer the video because then it's more efficient. So I can do those as well. Okay, I'll go back to the readings. So sometimes these people, you know, when you come in and you think something bad's going to happen, the medium will explain to you what is going to happen so you know what to expect. And when I'm explaining, yes, this is how I feel, then I usually say, I will say anything that pops into my head, no matter how strange and random it is. And I can tell you, sometimes they are the most amazing, wonderful, accurate things, and sometimes they are so not. Or we find out later they were actually right. Just the other day, and this is a great example of a strange and random thing, I was talking to somebody, and the man on the other side, he showed me groundhogs. Okay, you think in your head, do I say this or not? And I said, okay, I am seeing groundhogs. Do you know any story about groundhogs? So I only get part of the story. I won't necessarily get the whole thing. Some days I might get the whole thing. Most of the time I just get pieces of it, because spirit, God bless them, has to get into my head and get my attention and bring through what needs to come out. So I asked her, and she didn't know, because it wasn't her husband, it was her sister's husband who had passed. So I got an email a couple days ago saying, you're not going to believe this. Yes, there is a groundhog story. Last year, they had to get rid of all of these groundhogs in their yard because there were just so many out there. And I couldn't believe it, because I thought, groundhogs, really? So you never know what spirit is going to bring through to verify that spirit is there. Groundhog, you know that person was not coming in thinking about, I hope she talks about a groundhog so I really know it's him. They're not doing that. So those really awesome random things can really help solidify who we're talking to on the other side. Let's see. So in Lilydale, we're not supposed to be doing predictions, okay, in readings. I always tell my people, and I don't know what everybody else does. I've talked about this with a couple other mediums, but I always tell people, if I feel something, I'm going to tell you with the understanding that you are the one creating your reality. You're the one taking action towards your life. If I told you were going to have, and this is my favorite example, 24 biological children by the end of this year, you might say, I don't think so, because it's impossible, and you probably don't want 24 biological children. So, you know, you've got to take it the way it is. If it makes sense to you, if I say something to you, or a medium says something to you, and it makes sense, you like it, you enjoy it, you think it's a great message, take it. If it doesn't make sense, just set it aside, and you can come back to it later. I don't know how many times I've had people contact me years later and say, you told me this 5 years ago. And I'm thinking, how did you remember that? But they said, you told me this 5 years ago, and I thought you were crazy, but you were actually right. And so you never know. Of course, now we are not 100% accurate. We are not. And if anybody ever is 100% accurate, I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a second here. If you ever see anybody who is 100% accurate, they're whipping off names like Snow Tomorrow. They've got addresses. They've got all sorts of stuff. They've got details. You know, you're friends with this person. You're friends with that person. My impression is they're probably fake, and they have somehow investigated you, And there are a couple of mediums out there who are on the more well-known side, not from Lilydale, of course, who have been known to Facebook stalk people and then stuff that back to them. Okay. So I myself, you give me your name, I don't pay any attention to it at all. I rarely look at your last name. You know, I write down first names in my book and that's it. So I don't need to know that stuff. So if you ever do see somebody who's so accurate, you think, oh my God, they're so amazing. They're so right. Everything they say is right. Question it. Okay. Healthy cynicism is important. Healthy cynicism. That doesn't mean give your medium a hard time, though, okay? Because there is nothing worse as a medium than being tested by somebody. Now, for me and everybody I know, we are here to help. We want to help people connect to their loved ones, to understand that they are still around you, to understand that they're still here. And yes, they can guide you. Yes, you can feel them. You may even hear them yourself. You may feel them yourself. All sorts of things. It's awesome what can happen from spirit. And we all have our own way of doing things. So you may feel when I don't feel, or I may see and you not see. Whatever it is, it's all good. So we want to help people. And then every now and then we get these people that come in and they refuse to do anything. They won't acknowledge anything we're saying. And for me, if people do not give me some feedback, my energy will shut down and it's over. And I'll be like, sorry, it's not working, whatever. And every now and then that does happen where we don't connect with somebody for whatever reason. It could be that they are closed. They really don't want to open their energy up so we can go through their energy to connect to their loved ones. They just don't want to do that. And they may have a very valid reason for not wanting us to go into their energy to connect, but it makes it extremely difficult to do a mediumship reading if you're not open to it. And when we have a tester, I had one a little while ago and it was driving me crazy because we start out, and it can be on the general side when we start. Let's see. Hold on. I'm reading what it says. What's the best effect for some of us who have moved through maiden, mother, and now going to crone phase, who's raised? Oh, my goodness. I don't know what the rest of that is. But hold on. I'll see if I can come back, see the rest of that in a second. So this person that I had who was basically testing me, you know, I'm saying I've got this person who's like this, blah, 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 and I'm a big I really touch into people's emotions, their characteristics, their personality, that kind of thing. I get names on occasion, not all the time. It just depends on what spirit shows me. I just go with whatever they're showing me or getting through to my head. So that's why I say anything that comes in, I will put it out there because you just don't know, right? So I'll be saying this, and the person comes back with, well, yes, but isn't everybody like that? And I'm going, well, actually, no. No, not everybody is like that, no. And so then you start to feel a little bit of that pushback, and it makes it a little hard. So, you know, when you're having a reading, for the first time especially, you know, if you're scared or you're nervous, don't worry, the medium will put you at ease. And you'll probably have a pretty good connection with them, because I know by the time I get done with a reading with somebody, I feel such an intimate connection with them in a very positive, loving way. I have this sense of love towards them where I really want the best for them, and I'm really happy that we've connected and that I could have been there to be of service. Sometimes people are afraid nobody's going to come in. There's nobody over there. Nobody's going to come in. I have never had that experience where nobody comes in. Even with the testers, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, Maria's asking, how do you read energy? Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute, and then I'll come back to how to have a good reading, because that will help. So reading energy, if you are highly empathetic, you're probably already feeling people's energies. You know, when you walk in a room or you're standing next to somebody and you get that weird feeling, or you walk in a room and you feel very open and expansive because the energy is positive. So if you're already picking up on certain things, you can feel the energy of rooms, people, locations. The other day I went in a store, and I like to shop, but I went in and the energy was so wrong, I basically turned around and left. I couldn't be in there. It was too much. So to read energy, you've got a couple choices. One, well, probably more than a couple, actually, is you can notice what's happening in your own body and then read it that way. So if I'm doing a distant healing on someone, I will touch into their body with my body. Now, I'm a feeler, okay? So this is how I do it. I didn't used to be a feeler. I used to be a visual person, but now I'm a feeler. So I feel everything. So if I'm doing a distant healing on people, I will feel what's going on in their body, and I'll work on my body as a substitution for their body. So that's one way to read energy as well. Another way is to be able to look at their energy field and read their aura that way. Some people can literally see that. I actually teach that, how to look at auras, and I won't spend too much time on that. But a quick way to practice is to look at your own aura in a mirror and look at this area right up here. Because if you look right in here, you'll start to see like light coming out this way. So you can look in there, and then you can put your hands up here and actually play with it, and you can look at it that way. So that's one way where you can read it. And you can tell a lot about a person by how big their aura is and how bright it is. The other thing is to also think about colors. Look up colors, what colors mean to you. Yellow to me is in personal power. Green or pink is the heart energy. Blue is communication. So they go with the chakra colors generally, but then you put your own spin on them. So that's a way to do it too. So that's just a little bit of a way to read energy. And really what's happening in a reading is that's what we're doing. We're reading the energy. For me, it just kind of happens. I sit down in my chair and it just happens. Somehow I just connect. I'll talk about how I became a medium in a few minutes, because that's a question people always ask me too. But to have a good reading, and this is so important. And if you're training to be a medium, these are very important points to have in your repertoire, so you understand, because the better your clients understand what you're saying, the better the reading is going to go. This is how you set it up, how you explain it, how it works. The easier it becomes to work when they know where you're coming from and what you're doing. So you have to be open when you have a reading. You have to be open. When I'm talking about these people who are shutting down and testing, they are not open. They've somehow gotten in their head that they shouldn't say anything at all, which doesn't work, or that they don't. If they say anything, they're afraid they're feeding the medium. Okay, we'd like to get some verification back to let us know if we're on the right track, because what if we're way off? You know, it's good to get right back on if we all of a sudden go off on someplace else. Sometimes people come in and they're not open because they're expecting spirit to say a certain thing to prove it's them. You know, if they say this, then I know it's them. That doesn't happen a lot. If you have the ability of mediumship and then lose it, why is that so? Ooh, losing mediumship. I'm writing it down so I don't forget you. Losing mediumship. Okay, I'll come back to that. That's a great one. So if you're not open and you're looking for specific things to prove it, then you are not allowing the experience to unfold in the way it's supposed to unfold. Okay. Sometimes people will ask me questions. Do you see this? What's their name? What's this and that? If you ask specific questions like that of a medium, what happens is they start thinking rather than staying in their medium mode. I feel like sometimes I'm in a bit of a trance. Things just come through and come out of my mouth. Sometimes it takes me about 10, 20 seconds before I catch up to what I've said and go, oh, that was interesting. So I'm just talking and all of a sudden I hear it later. So if you ask a question that gets us in thinking mode, then we're going to break that connection to spirit, and we don't want to do that. So being open. I heard a few mediums two summers ago, say that clients said to them, well, I already knew that. So here we are, we're bringing in, you know, say I'm bringing in your grandfather, and I say, okay, your grandfather, he has a tattoo on his left arm. I know he has glasses. I know he was in the Navy, and somebody has a picture of that boat, or the ship. Ship is the appropriate word, a ship that he used to be on. I know he has a tattoo. There's a ship. I know this. I know that. And they'll say, well, I already knew that. And they're missing the point that the medium didn't know that. Where are we getting that information? We obviously must be getting it from someone. So we don't know that. So we don't want to say something like that, but I already knew that. Well, yes, you did, but we didn't. So we've got to make sure we understand what we're doing is we're channeling the information from spirit. We're channeling this information to come through to help, to guide, to inspire, to heal, to show that love that's still there from the other side. Sometimes the the medium will say something and we don't quite get it, of course. Now, here's a great example, my own experience, and it came back the other day, so it's actually kind of funny. I was in a workshop years ago and somebody came to me and they were talking about my daughter and they described her as a musician. And I said, oh, no, she's not a musician. And they said, oh, that's weird because I see her playing the piano. And I said, well, yes, she plays the piano and the violin. Now, here's where the problem came in. She used the word musician, and I'm a professional musician. So for me, musician means professional. My own head got in my way. So sometimes your head may get in the way. You'll hear something, and you hear it with your definition. So it's very important as a medium to continue to explain, but as the client to listen and just play with it. So, of course, then I said to this person, I said, well, yes, actually, she does. She plays that, so she is a musician, isn't she? And so the other day, I actually did the exact same thing to somebody else as the medium. I said, and who's the musician? Because I want to be playing guitar. And there's like, oh, we don't have a musician, but my husband plays the guitar all the time. And I'm like, I just got myself on my own thing. So it's funny how our choices of words can lead us down to our own interpretations. So I may say to somebody, oh, she's very stubborn. I can feel very stubborn, very opinionated. And they'll say, well, no. And I'll say, and then so I'll have to describe it a little bit what that means to me. It means that you can't sway her from what she believes to be true. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, she's like that. So sometimes we have to explain things. So you've got to take some of this and kind of look at the interpretations with it as well. Now, spirit does decide who's coming in and what they want to communicate. So spirit, you may want to be talking to, you know, your husband who passed, and that's the most important thing ever. If you really want to talk to your husband, but who comes in but your grandmother, who is the sweetest woman ever, and you have no problems with her, no concerns, she's wonderful, you love her, but you really don't want to talk to her. So you've got to kind of let it flow as it's going to, because once your grandmother comes through, maybe your husband comes in next. Now, I do ask my people if they're looking for anybody in particular, because the last thing I want to happen is to have somebody who really wants to talk to somebody and then that person not show up. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to show up, but at least we've set the intention, you know, and or I'll say, they'll say yes, and I'll say, okay, don't tell me, but if they're not here in 10 minutes, let me know, and I'll see if I can find them. I have pretty good luck connecting with people. It's not 100%, but I have pretty good luck connecting. So sometimes I will ask that question, too, just to see. And also, James von Prague used this example a few years ago about, you know, you're having your reading and this person comes in who was horrible to you. They were abusive. They were nasty. They were so mean. It took you forever to get past their issues. And you go, oh, I don't really want to talk to that person. And yes, you can get rid of a spirit. If you don't want to talk to them, you can say, no, I don't want to talk to them. But I recommend first that you stay open and you allow them to come in, because they may be coming in to apologize to you. For the most part, most spirits on the other side have evolved. They have moved into a higher perspective, a more spiritual perspective. So they recognize where they may have gone wrong in life, or where they may have unintentionally hurt people or intentionally hurt people. And so sometimes they do want to apologize about whatever's happened. So give them a little bit of a moment and to see where they're heading first before you get rid of them. I've seen some amazing, amazing healings happen in my room when an abuser comes in and says, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for it, but this is the way I was, blah, blah, blah. And then they explain it. And invariably, the person in front of me has worked through a lot of this. And it's nice to get that affirmation, that validation from the other side that, yes, I know I ruined your life, but look at what you've created out of this. Look at how you become a better person. Look at how you've tried so hard to forgive me. Look at how you have become so much more compassionate towards other people because of our experiences together. So you never know where the message is going to come from and where it's going to take you and validate who you are and affirm what you've created in your life. Now, people always ask me how I got started. Have I always been a medium? And the answer is a very, very definite no. I have not always been a medium. I was always psychic growing up. I liked knowing what was going to happen. I would figure things out ahead of time. On occasion, I would give people answers to tests ahead of time or say what was on the test, what the questions were going to be. I just knew things like this. It started out a lot where I would know bad things. You know, I knew a deer was going to run in front of my car. So it was more of a psychic thing. But after I woke up and became more aware of the spiritual side of life, spirit started kind of knocking on my head saying, it's time to be a medium. It's time to be a medium. And I kept saying, no, 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 I do not want to be a medium. I don't want to talk to dead people. No, no, no. I just want to tell people what to do. I'm a big fixer. So I want to tell people what to do. And spirit kept saying, no, 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 you're going to be a medium. And I said, no, no, no. We went back and forth for quite a while. And finally I said, okay, if you want me to be a medium, then you have to bring me the right teachers. And they did. And this was in my head, okay? I wasn't through another person or a channel or anything like that. These were all impressions I was getting. It was very distinct that it was time and I needed to get to this. So there are some people who say, I saw my first spirit when I was 2 years old, you know, or I'm a fourth generation spiritualist. So they've been in this field, this career, this energy, this spirituality for their whole lives and generations too. But I'm not like that. Now, my family is very spiritually evolved. All my siblings and everybody, we all have our own skills, the own things we do. One of my sisters, I don't know if she still does this, but used to do astral travel. You know, I know my niece is very attuned, and she's a little freaked out by this right now, but she's very attuned to spirit and that energy. So it runs in my family, but we weren't professional mediums, as far as I know, anyway. And so for me, you know, in a way, it's kind of like I was a late bloomer, but not, because it was so natural when I started doing it. So if you're interested in being a medium, if you don't come from a long lineage of mediums, it's okay. It's not a big deal. You're fine. It's all good. There's still time. We are all mediums in our own way. We are all channels of certain energy. Some people can channel music. Some people channel writing. Some people channel a very loving presence. And you know what that's like when you're near somebody like that. You just feel so amazing when you're near somebody who channels that love that comes through. So we are all channels in our own way. So we are all mediums. Now, Jennifer asked, if you have the ability of mediumship and then lose it, why is that so? And what a great question. And part of that being a great question is because I've been thinking about this a little bit lately. So you must be in tune with me there, Jennifer. Because if we truly trust spirit, if we truly trust spirit is going to come in as mediums, and it can be very scary for us as mediums because we don't know what we're going to say. And if we're still learning, and I think we learn until we die, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking sometimes because we want to do our best. We want to help people. And so we can get a little bit nervous about that too. So the answer to that is to trust. We have to trust that spirit is going to be there for us. We have to trust ourselves to be able to connect to spirit. Now, sometimes my impression as of today is that sometimes if people lose this ability, they have either moved into ego somehow, where they are using their mediumship skills to prove they're wonderful or to want to be famous. Something like that, rather than being from the correct energy of being of service. If you're of service, you're trusting you're in the spirit energy and spirit will always be there for you. But if your goal, and I did hear this story once about somebody who they just wanted to be the next most famous medium on TV and had some training but not a lot of experience, and then got up and planned this demonstration for, you know, 50 to 100 people all by himself, and he got up there and bombed because he was not ready yet, okay? So you've got to follow the natural course of how your mediumship develops. That's part of it. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm like, how am I saying this, is that you're not really losing your mediumship ability, even though I know people, I've heard people who have, because I believe it's always there. What I believe might happen is it gets hidden underneath the ego, underneath self-pressure maybe even, you know, because imagine if you have a TV show and you have to produce, you have to connect. I would imagine that there are days where you just don't feel into it. It's just not working, you know, like any other job or anything else where you just, one day you feel great, another day you just don't feel quite there. But there's a little bit of pressure there. So then you kind of put that pressure on yourself and it might make it harder to connect. If you're truly trusting, though, you can still do it and not worry too much about it to a point. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers you totally, but it gives you an idea. Some things to think about, you know, because we do want to stay open, staying open as the medium and as the client. We want to stay open. Yeah, and, you know, as mediums, and if any of you are in training to become a medium, I hope this has been helpful. I'll give you some ideas of how things go. The biggest thing that for me has been my lesson in learning to trust and believing that whatever comes in is probably right. I may be misinterpreting it in some way. I remember once I said to somebody, I went like this, and I go, I'm sewing a sail on a sailboat. Do you know anybody, excuse me, who would be sewing a sail on a sailboat? And the person's looking at me, no, I don't understand. And I'm like, oh, it's so clear. You know what it was? It was a quilt. And the person had been sewing the sailboat on the quilt. And I'm seeing sewing the sail, so I'm thinking it's a sailboat, you know, a big gigantic sail. But it was on a quilt. So sometimes it takes a little bit of exploration to find out where we're going with this, find out what's happening. Lots of times now that I trust myself more, over the past few years, I've been much better. If somebody says no, I'll say, wait a minute, let's play with this for a minute. Let's see where we go. Let's see if it's really wrong, or let's see if I'm misinterpreting it, or we just can't remember what it is. And the best clients are the ones that go, okay, and we just have so much fun just playing with this to see where we end up. There was a reading last year where I was drawing, and I don't draw in a reading normally. I picked up a piece of paper, and I was talking about spirit on the other side, and I was talking about the lady in whose lady's son who was in front of me. So the son was in the physical, somebody else was on the other side. I think they might have been cousins, the son and the person on the other side. So all of a sudden, I felt like I had to draw something. So I picked up a piece of paper, and I started drawing, and it turned out to be like a cross, a fancy, more ornate cross. And I said, okay, I don't know what this is. And I show it to her. She goes, that's the tattoo that they have, that my son has on his arm to connect with the person on the other side, to honor that person on the other side. So that was amazing to me that I followed that, you know. So we have to just kind of go with it and see what happens. As mediums, it's very important that we do spend that time in meditation. It is so important. And I know everybody has heard this. We've heard it till we're blue in the face. You know, we know it, we know it. But how come we don't do it as much as we're supposed to? And it's not that you have to sit there for an hour a day or 2 hours a day. If you can make it to 20 minutes, because the first 10 minutes is kind of calming the mind down. Okay. But if you can make it to about 20 minutes, you'll be amazed at how much better you feel. And I had a hard time calming my mind down. It's just who I am. It's always been like this. And for me, it's now very simple. And I've said this before, I can do 11 breaths. I count my breaths. And usually by the 11, I'm calmer and I'm back into my energy now. And I'm not so frazzled in my head like I used to be. Olivia, I feel very connected to spirit, but anytime I see a spirit or sense spirits, I get scared. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Now, this time in the world is such an interesting time because we are going through this gigantic consciousness shift. It's huge, absolutely huge. Everybody is experiencing it. This is why we have so many problems going on, because it's making us dig deep to who we are. And so many people are experiencing spirit now. So people are sensing spirit, seeing spirit, and it's a little nerve-wracking. If it's not your normal way of living, it's a little bit scary because you don't know what to do with it. You know, where do you go with this? And what I like to tell people when they talk about this is to just, you know, be aware that spirit is around you as much as you want them to be around you. They're there whether you know it or not. Okay, if you think about somebody out of the blue, it's probably because they're near you. If you want to think about somebody, you can draw them to you. It's very simple. So spirit is around you all the time. But what's happening is people now, their sensitivity is starting to come up. Their energy is opening up. And we are so close to the spirits on the other side now. And people are having such a hard time handling this because it is new for people. Exercise and strengthen these gifts, yes. So what you want to do, if you're experiencing spirit and it's making you uncomfortable, just take a breath and just be welcoming. Be open, be welcoming. I personally do not believe in evil spirits, so I don't believe that you're going to have somebody, you know, that looks like a dragon coming at you. Okay, I don't believe that. I just don't. And I probably won't ever believe that. If you want to believe that, you go ahead. It's your choice, your free will. But I don't believe in evil spirits. So generally, I'd just be very welcoming, opening. If it really bothers you and it really scares you a lot, then you can ask them to go away because you're not ready. Okay. And I might suggest what you try, and this is for if you want to become, if you're a developing medium or you just want to connect with spirit or you want to get messages from your higher self, automatic writing is one of the best ways to connect if you can get out of your head here. And I've talked about this, so I don't want to get, you know, too far into it because if you watched before, but if you haven't, I do want to give you a little bit of a pointer on how to do it. And for me, what I'd like to do when I'm doing automatic writing is I just kind of stop, breathe a few times, get centered a little bit so I'm not thinking. Then I kind of ask the question, you know, it could be as simple as, I use this example all the time, why is the sky blue? Why do I like the color orange? Why this? Why that? What do you want to tell me today? What is important that I need to know today? I wrote once on music, and I ended up getting pages of information just channeled right through me. Ended up using that for all sorts of things, and it talked about music being one of the higher vibrations, and that's a great way to connect as well. So automatic writing can help. And, you know, Olivia, you might try saying, okay, I feel like I'm seeing spirit now, and I'm wondering why I'm seeing spirit. And then just write whatever comes into your head. Even if you think to yourself, oh, I'm making this up. And maybe you just have to write, well, I'm not really sure why I'm seeing spirit yet, but I'm sure it's important. And if you just let it flow, what will happen is you'll start to see little bits and pieces in there that you'll know you didn't write. You'll have words in there you would not have used. You'll say something, or there'll be a piece of insight in there that you think, oh, that makes sense. I get it now. So you kind of just let it unfold. It does take some practice to do. It's not going to be, it may not be the easiest thing right away, or it may be. Who knows? We don't know. So you want to do that. So automatic writing is a great thing to do to get your senses more developed. Okay. Ray is saying he sees spirits 24 hours a day. I don't know if I can see the rest of people's comments. Hold on. Don't mind me while I do this. Oh, yes, I can. I'm not a technology queen, that's for sure. They shoot out from the skies by the multitude that's been going on for months. How cool is that? I hate to ask this on your show. I can get yes or no out of one of them, but the moon would work. Okay. Awesome. Okay. I'm going to come to that too. I want to go with Mix for just a moment longer about how to get it better, how to strengthen that connection. Meditation, yes, of course, as much as possible. Automatic writing is so important. Trusting in the fear. Something else that's kind of fun to do is to kind of practice your psychic skills. Just to practice. And what you might do with that, let's see. You could look at a picture of somebody. Now, you won't obviously be able to get confirmation on this, but you could look at a picture of somebody, you know, maybe in a magazine or something like that, and just kind of read them, get the feeling for their energy, you know, see what they're like. So maybe you'll see a color around them. You know, you can practice using colors. Colors are amazing to help with reading. So you can use colors. You could just go, you know, this person feels like a great person. I wonder this, wonder that. So it's really just kind of being open, no verification. And you just kind of let it just play with it. It's more of a playing. That can work really well. Something else to do is use like cards, like playing cards or something. And, you know, like just take a few and then, you know, play with somebody or maybe shapes. That might be easier. Do shapes and just see if you can figure out what the shape is without looking at it and just kind of see what you feel. So things like that where you can practice, that seems to help a lot. Now, Ray is talking about how he has spirits all around him shooting down from the skies, and he doesn't know what's going on. So, Ray, my impression of this, and actually I'm touching into your energy for this one, because my impression of this is that you are very open. Okay, you're very open to spirit. You're very open and understand there's more to life than what we physically see. And actually, and I've never said this to anybody, but I'm going to say it to you. It feels to me like you might be a little bit too open, because you can control that if you want to. You know, if it's bothering you. If it's not bothering you, then leave it. But you can control that. I had a student once a long time ago who literally would walk down the hall at school and see spirit and not know if it was a real person or spirit. And I said to him, you know, you can tell them not to do that. And he said, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can. So he had to learn that he could say, look, I'm in school now. Please don't be walking around the halls with me because it's disturbing. I don't know if you're real or not. So you can, if they're bothering you, you can say, not right now, but I can talk to you later. So you could do something like that if you wanted to communicate with them. And it is interesting, too, because, okay, I get such a feeling of them wanting to lift you up and help you recognize that you can release things. Okay, I want to talk about you releasing things, releasing anything that's holding you back from being the true loving presence that you are, so that you're truly in the love and in the flow. Because I know you're a very loving person. I know you're a very caring person. And I know that, that spirit really wants you to practice sending love out as much as possible. They want to send love out. Okay, you don't mind it. Good. It doesn't sound like you'd be scared of them because you are so open. But it feels to me that it's sending out. Okay, now I don't know anything about, I don't even know the word. There's like somebody, if somebody knows what I'm trying to say, put it in the comments, like Pleiades. Pleiades. Is there a word like that? Pleiades, like Pleiades. Like, and I'm feeling like, and I, like I said, I don't know about this. It feels like it's, I want to say an ancient civilization or higher beings in a different universe or something like this. Does anybody know what I'm saying? So there's something with that. Look that up and see if that's something right, because that's coming in. So that is not my area. I don't know anything about any of that. And so there's something about higher civilizations, higher beings here that might be a little bit fun. Is that what it is, Mick? The pleading star system? Pleiadian. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Mick. Oh, I'm so glad somebody knew what I was trying to say. So, yeah. So check that out. That might be interesting. Check that out, Ray, and see what you think about that, because there's, I don't know why that's coming in. And Mick, you know more about this because I know nothing. Do you happen to know if it involves a lot of light? Because I feel like a lot of light coming in, and I feel like there's a lot of light around Ray, lifting him up so that he can share the light and love with everybody. So he thinks I'm on track. Oh, I'm glad you understand, Ray, because I have no idea what I'm saying to you. Okay. Now, somebody who was, somebody just asked about energy. Rashonda, ask your question, and if I don't get to it right away, I'll make a note. Clearing your house. Somebody mentioned clearing your house. I use a sage spray for that. I don't use the smelly stuff, mostly because every time I light it, it goes out, so it must be like too damp or something. So I just use a sage spray for clearing. Something else that's really good to clear is music. High vibrational music. There are certain classical pieces. People talk about Mozart as being high vibration, but Mozart's not one of my favorites, so it's not so high vibration for me. Bach, B B-A-C-H. Bach is very high vibrational. That kind of thing. The song Ave Maria is great. A lot of the new age music that's out now, Jonathan Goldman and some other people, they have some very good music that can help with that. The other thing, this is interesting. So whoever asked, I've already forgotten who it was, about clearing your house. Touching into that, I'm feeling some areas where I want to get rid of things. Okay, I want to throw things out. I feel like there's some negative energies kind of hanging on with some things around there. And it may just be things that you don't like anymore. It doesn't have to be like bad things, okay? But I feel like that. And there's, I want to clear things out. I also want to play, oh good, angel music, Grace playing angel music. Okay. Shonda's question about for family, boyfriend's going to put the family first. We just had a baby. That's more of a psychic question, but I'll see what I feel. But I want to talk about the clearing there because I want to be moving some things around and getting more space around. Now, it is interesting, even though somebody doesn't believe you when you feel a certain way, we all pick up on energies in our own way. And if you're watching this show connected with Lilydale at all, I'm sure you're well aware of some kind of energy things. So there, you know, sometimes don't doubt yourself because somebody else doesn't feel what you feel. Okay. It's kind of like when I watch a medium and I think, oh my God, how did they come up with all those names or how did they get that and that and that? And I'm like, whoa, that's them. I'm me. It's okay. So if there's a, somebody else questioning you, don't worry about it. You do what you got to do and shift it up as much as possible. So music, saging, of course, is always good. Candles work too. Of course, you got to be careful with candles. You don't set the house on fire. So that always works. Light works. If you don't have your blinds open, I have to have windows. You can see behind me. This is my dining room. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 windows behind me. I love this space. I love all the windows in this house. Too bad I'm trying to sell it. But I love all the windows here. So light is really good because it helps raise you up. Okay. So that's very important. If you have another question on the clearing, let me know if I didn't answer enough for you. Rashonda, you know what I want to talk about with you, Rashonda, is I want to talk about you. And I want to talk about how you are the kind of person who always gives. And I want to make sure that you're protecting your own energies. And I'm not saying close down or anything like that. I'm saying just make sure you're doing what's right for you. He always says, I overthink things. I don't believe things enough. Don't you love that? Nothing like a relationship where we have, you know, little differences in how we do things. But the mention of thinking is very interesting to me as a spiritual coach, because if instead of thinking we moved into feeling, we might have a different experience. I know that's, you're going, what? What does that mean? So rather than what happens is if something doesn't go right. So say that you think your boyfriend is not giving you enough attention. Let's just say he's not giving you enough attention. So what do we do when we think this? We immediately go to a meaning. We create a meaning. Why is he not there for me? Why is he not listening to me? Does he not like me anymore? Is he stupid? Does he just only concerned about himself, not everybody else? Is he selfish? So we have taken the feeling of him not paying enough attention to us and turned it into this gigantic meaning, which may or may not be true, and probably not true because we tend to go a little bit too far with our meanings. So you want to go with the feeling instead and kind of, I call it the truth of your emotions. So if you think that he's not putting your family first, which would be what it looks like, then why do you feel that way? What's causing the feeling? And it has to be one thing. Okay, you can't list a whole bunch. One thing. And what is the truth of it? Okay, the truth of your emotion. Your emotion is maybe you just need more support because you just had a baby and you're tired and you probably got a little postpartum stuff going on, you know? So maybe you just need support and that's all it is. So your emotions are telling you, I need support. And really you just need to say, look it. I need you to, and be specific about what you need. And that may help very much. And overthinking and underthinking is an interesting thing as well, because that does lead us into those meanings in our heads rather than just accepting people as they are. So there is something with that too. Now, you know, it is interesting because you may be very well, coming across having a new baby as being very competent. You know how to handle it. You know how to take care of the baby. You know how to do this. And he may be feeling a little bit neglected on his own. You know, like, well, wait a minute. She's spending all her time with the baby. She's not spending any time with me. And I know a baby is very time intensive. But he just might need a little bit of reassurance, which could change everything around. And just say, you know, I'm so happy you've really supported me with this. Thank you so much. Can you do this for me? Because I really need this. And whatever it is. Let's see. And then now she's asking, now Bhavana's asking about brown colors testing for the painting of the new fence be the best color for my home healing center. Well, I would ask you, Bhavana, is brown a very important color to you? What does brown mean to you? Just why did you pick brown? Is it a grounding color? I used to wear brown on Mondays when I went to school because I needed to get back in my body. So I would wear brown or blacks or dark grays or something on Monday so I would ground myself back in. And by Friday, I was wearing red again so that my energy was back up. So I would ask you what color, why you picked the color. What does it mean to you? Colors are so important. They're so important. We use them for everything. Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm actually wondering why you're not using a bit of a green. Does the brown have a little green in it? I'm actually wondering. Isn't that funny? Just my own interpretation of colors with that, just trying to match the nature around. Ah, she lives in Kauai. And the house, which is blue, gray, and white. Yes, it is grounding. Okay, good. I could look at the rest of what you said here. That would probably be good. Hold on, or maybe not. Okay, maybe my hand's too clean. Can't see the rest of it. Yeah. So if you see now, you understand why you did it, because you did it so it blends in very well. So you're going to for the nature look and the unobtrusiveness of it matching. Ooh, I like that a lot. I like that. Okay, she's going to put greenery at the border. Okay, there's the green. I wonder where the green was. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so it must be right because it feels right with your explanation. So you've thought it through. So don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt yourself. Trust yourself. If it feels right to you, you've got to go with it. Trusting ourselves is so important, isn't it? Because we don't. We just don't. It's so interesting. Yeah, life is very... life can be a little bit challenging sometimes, can't it? Because we don't trust ourselves. We look for other people for reassurance. And getting back to the mediumship. Okay, hold on. Tom, what do you think of the Dr. Michael Newton Life Between Lives research and books? You know, I have not read his stuff. He's on my list. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget because when I'm doing a show, I'm kind of in the flow like I am for a reading, and I'm not really thinking all the way through books. Life Between Lives. Sorry, I have to say it out loud or I'll forget what I'm writing. It is interesting because I know there are some people who do the past life hypnosis, but they go to between lives to see what's there. And my theory, I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe we get to choose if we're coming back, what we're going to learn the next time. I do believe in that. And I do believe that there is that time in between where we can do what we want. Now, it's all our choice. It's our life. It's our game. We do whatever we want. And so that is important to acknowledge. In that way. So it is interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to read some of that and see. I'm currently reading Neil Donald Walsh's book. I can't think of the name of it, but it's about being your true self. And because, you know, that's my message. I'm always talking about being you, who you really are. And so I'm reading his stuff just to get his perspective on some things too. And just see where that goes. I have literally probably 100 books in my bedroom that I've started or not started. So they're all new books. Then I have a bunch of books other places that I've read most of those, but not all those either. Because I see a book and I just buy it, you know, and thinking I'll read it later. I don't know. I'll be 95 and reading all these books if I move them all with me to the next place. Souls Awaken by, yeah. You know what's a real good book too is Michael Singer books. The first one he did was The Untethered Soul, and that was very good. He's very repetitive, so he got the point by the end of what it was. But his second book, I loved even more. It was kind of like the first book was the run-through of overview of what he wanted to teach. But the second book, it was called The Surrender Experiment. And if you have not read that book, I so recommend you read it because it's all about letting life lead you to where you need to be, trusting life to show you where you need to be. His story is crazy. And by the end of that book, it was a page turner for me. I started to get so stressed out because I needed to know what happened. I had to jump to the end to make sure it was going to be okay. And then I went back because I was getting so stressed out. But it was a great book. And talk about him having that trust in the universe that whatever is happening in his life is where he's supposed to be is amazing to me. That's a person who 110% trusts, and it's amazing. Okay, I'm looking at Jennifer's again. Yeah, there's so many good books. Maybe we should talk about books one night. For some reason, I cannot make my face, my thing here, my iPad. Show me the rest of these things. So, Jennifer, stuck in decision. Yeah, so just, I can't see the rest of what you said, Jennifer. So my recommendation is just to go with what feels right to you. It's so hard. You know what we do? We suppress ourselves. We don't pay attention to ourselves. We don't believe ourselves. How many times do we hide ourselves? I talked about that last week, but how many times do we hide ourselves and we don't show other people who we really are because we don't believe in ourselves, we don't trust ourselves, we're not our real selves. So we have to kind of discover who we are first and then step into the energy of who we are and be deliberately bold, my favorite thing lately. So we have to do that. Oh, it's amazing. Okay, so I probably have talked a very long time. Oh, look at me. I am like back to our old time of being an hour long. Yes, but this has been fun. I've enjoyed talking about mediumship. And I want to do another question and answer show. I was thinking about doing that once a week, once a month, a question and answer show. And I'll have a topic and then we can go off and do whatever you want. Yeah. Yes, deliberately bold is my new thing. And I keep talking about being deliberately bold because when I ask myself, what would be deliberately bold? What action is it? Because then you intentionally take action and you're brave. You take courage, you're courageous. You take action, even if you're not brave in your heart, you just do it. You know, so that's my thing right now. And my book may be heading towards that. So if you weren't watching at the beginning, I do want to mention that, you know, I've been doing this show for a couple of years. Well, this is my third year doing it now. And A1R Psychic Radio Show, I did that for almost 4 years. I'm done with that now, mostly because I'm working on some other projects right now. But I have been asking people, if I've said anything that's very helpful to you or a coaching tip or a strategy that has spoken to you and helped you change your life, if you would contact me and let me know, because I'm trying to really, drill down my message, what message it is. I mean, it's all about you and who you are and being in your power, but I need to make it even more specific. And interestingly, the more I talk on my shows and the more people are contacting me, what I'm finding is that people are telling me I've very much affected them spiritually and helping them connect to the God of their understanding or connect to their soul. And that was very enlightening for me because it's such a big part of me, such a natural part of me that I didn't look at it as being something I probably should really be emphasizing in my book. Isn't that horrible or not? Not horrible. I just wasn't aware yet, but now I'm aware. So it's kind of like when my daughter wanted to go to school and she didn't know what to go for. And I'm like, you need to go for writing. You're a really good writer. And she did. And there you go. So it is interesting because sometimes something is when it's right in front of us, we just don't see it and how helpful it is. So anyway, if I've ever said anything that's helped you in any way, if you would let me know, it'd be awesome. I am going to be looking for some stories to put in my book, mostly about personal growth, transformation, awakening, anything specific that works for you. So I do want to get that out there because there's no point in writing a book if you guys aren't going to like it, right? So I want to make sure I'm giving you what you want. You know, do you want guidance? Do you want help? Do you want whatever? Whatever you want. Jesse first told you you're going to write a book. I know. You know what? I've been going to write a book for about 20-something years now. My daughter is 23, almost 24. And I said something the other day about the book. She rolled her eyes and looked at her boyfriend and said she's been talking about this for so long now. And I'm like, oh, I got to take care of this now because, you know, not good, but I've been working on it so much. So it's coming, people, it's coming. And with your help, if you want to help me, feel free. I'd love to hear from you. I probably should stop talking. And this has been fun. I've really enjoyed this. And next week, I think I'm going to talk about higher perspectives, looking at life from a higher perspective. And we're going to look at everything that has to do with a higher perspective of who you are, higher perspective of how you react and respond, higher perspective of why your problems are the way they are, everything. We're going to raise your vibration as much as possible. That's what we're going to do next week. It's going to be fun, so much fun. Okay, I will stop talking. I have talked so much. And thank you so much for joining me, watching, listening, asking questions, being here. I love you all. You're amazing. So much fun talking to you. And I think that's all I have to say. I will talk to you next week. And some of you, I might see in Erie this week. I have Erie Philharmonic concert on Saturday night. So I know every now and then I run into some of you down in Erie when I'm performing. So I will see you later. You have a good time. Enjoy the snow if you're up this way. And maybe it'll melt. Okay. Have a good time. Bye.